Thank you very much, Wes. Get us in a good worship motion, momentum. Do appreciate it. Okay. Gospel of John, chapter 13. Those of you that will hear this later on disc or on the internet, we're having a slight icy time in Dallas. Not real bad yet. They say tomorrow it's going to get worse. Last Sunday was kind of bad, but they say tomorrow is going to be really bad. So I'm going to go home, stock up on some canned vegetables, and just plan on hibernating for the next couple of days. Hopefully Sunday we'll be able to make our way back. I was talking to friends and telling me he didn't know to meet someone. Well, no, the real bad part about it is Sunday's the only day we take an offering. I mean, we can't miss too many of those. And what I'm going to have to do is, now those of you that give by the week, just remember you lost 1 week, so don't forget that.
Come and mail it in.
Yeah, mail it in, friends and neighbors. We'll give you envelopes. Some churches do that. We'll give you envelopes. A lot of churches do that. Yeah. We'll give you envelopes so you can mail it in.
Yeah.
Your tithes and offerings and your winnings. So, but it's really rough in some parts of America today. And some parts are kind of nice. I remember I was looking the other day. First day, was it Saturday when it got so bad, or Sunday? But anyway, the warmest place in America was in Texas, down in McAllen. And that day, they got what it was, 82, 83. And here we were freezing below 32, and they were just down there sunbathing. And I didn't check today what it was. But that's something. But all this ice and rain isn't helping Dallas area. Our lakes are really bad still. The paper that said today, several feet below the normal level. So they're continuing the rationing of when you can water and use so much water in your yard and things. And they said it's going to take quite a while to really get those back up several feet. And that's a lot. So we need a lot of rain, and I don't think I like it in the form of ice, but we do need a lot of rain. And prayers, we need to continue to be in prayer for Don and Nancy Becker as they travel, and for her health and pain. We need to be in prayer. Anything other things we need to be in prayer? Gigi's mother went home, but not doing real good. So we need to be in prayer. And just continue to be in prayer for each other, and y'all drive carefully home tonight. Yes.
Minnie's mother had to go back in the hospital. She's home in Corpus, but she had a little relapse.
Okay. Heart?
Yeah, still heart.
And back in the hospital today?
Yesterday.
Any prognosis?
The problem is they had a regular heartbeat. And,
so that is so hard to find. So hard to find. That's Judith Young's son, Kelly, and they just don't know what it is that's causing the trouble. So, okay, remember these in prayer. And what's Mindy's mother's first name?
Louise.
Remember Louise. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Remember these people in prayer. And be in prayer for each other. We all need each other's prayers. And prepare ourselves for the studying of Scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bring these names to the throne of grace. We pray, Father, that in your wisdom and your compassion, and according to your plan, that you will touch these people, give relief to pain, wisdom to doctors. Now, Heavenly Fathers, we open the Scriptures to the Gospel of John 13, where you allow us the privilege of going behind the scenes, going to the upper room, the recording that you have given to us that we would otherwise not know about. And you have recorded the things that you have recorded in John 13 for our benefit. It's very interesting, Father, that you did not tell us in John 13 and 14 when the communion took place, the last Passover and the first communion. What you did tell us, though, was the importance in regard to the teaching by Jesus Christ and some of the actions by the various men in the upper room. All of these things for our edification. Now, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, what we're looking at, first of all, they met in the upper room, and we started our little journey with betrayal. This was by Judas, who now is empowered by Satan. So Satan and Judas have left the room to go about and to betray. Then we have the study of glorification. We didn't have the glorification, not yet, but we have the study of the glorification, which is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the ascension and session, and therefore the glorification of God and of Christ begins at the cross, and if we can call it termination at this point of that phase of glorification with the session of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. Now, that brought about the next thing of departure, and he talked about how he was going to leave, and they could not go with him, and he is going to be ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now we are ready for the next stage, and that is the new command. So now we have come to me, one of the most beautiful aspects in the Bible. I love teaching anything in regard to the new commandment. It's just so powerful. I know I do a great deal of teaching on faith. I know I do a great deal of teaching on faith in the Holy Spirit. But all of that is for this. This is the main thing of the momentum of Spring Valley Bible Church, as far as I'm concerned, in our teaching. And that is the new commandment, to love one another as Christ has loved us, for God is love. And this is going to be great demands on our life. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Christ loved you. So we begin tonight with the new commandment. With the departure of Christ, everything's ready for the new commandment, for the historical impact of the departure of Christ. With the absence of Jesus Christ, we have a new commandment, not the Mosaic Law, not a new rendition of the Mosaic Law. You can put the Mosaic Law aside. We now have one command and only one command. And it is this one command in which all the commandments are fulfilled. And the new commandment is to love, but not simply to love, but to love as He loved. This is the glorification of Christ as far as our life is concerned. So let's read now verses 34 and 35 in our study. These two verses will be here a while, but it'll be well worth our journey in the study. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, and here's the commandment, that you love one another. Even as I, and the one another is another of the same kind, meaning another believer, that you love one another, even, here's the standard, here's the model, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35 is the significance of the new commandment. By this, that is, by this love, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, this love. Now, as we go into this is remarkable, people. You think about it. What will characterize someone as a believer in Christ, taking the concept of a disciple? What will mark that person? Is it going to be the way he dresses? Is it going to be the language? Is it going to be what church they are? It has to be something, people, that transcends 2,000 years of church history plus. So it's got to be something that can do that. So it can't be related to any modern type of thing. It's got to be something that transcends the sex, male and female. It's got to be something that overlaps and transcends any of these things like economics. The very rich, the very poor can do this. Got to be able to do this. The people that are in prison, slaves, imprisoned, and those that are free. So it's got to transcend everything so that we can all be marked as belonging to Christ. How, the new commandment, how we ought to live. What our goal ought to be. People, we don't need a list of commands. We don't need a list of commands. A lot of people need a lot of list of commands. Before we go any further, let's talk about this just for a moment. Let's talk about why Jesus Christ uses the word command. That upsets a lot of people. A commandment. They don't want commandments. The word commandment seems so restricting, so law. And but on the other hand, many believers love commandments. They love it. And they love the Ten Commandments. They love commandments. They love it for a lot of reasons. One, so they can control each other. So they can judge each other. And you know, a lot of people love commandments. So, well, I have to have the commandments so I know how to live. I need to know what's expected of me. See, people, we don't need a list. We don't need a lot of commands. And why not? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have one basic command, that's faith. And we don't need a long list to tell us how to treat our husbands, how to treat our wives, how to treat our friends, how to do this, how to do that. All these, we have the Holy Spirit. In the Mosaic Law, sometime we'll have fun with it, but the Mosaic Law, it even tells you people if you're walking down a path and you run into a bird that's fallen out of its nest, what to do. And a lot of people love that. Because they can go to bed at night and they can say, I have done the law. So I'm right with God. No matter what, I've done it. And if they don't, then I got to go get the law. I got to go find it out. I know, I used to be this way, but I know people, oh, well, if you make mistakes, it's because you don't know enough doctrine. I need to know. I need to have all the information. I need to have all the laws. I need to have all the do's and don'ts. So I'll know what to do. No, you don't. We have the Holy Spirit. We trust Him. We trust Him to lead us and to guide us. But a lot of people have the need of a commandment. And to other believers, the concept of commandments, they just don't want to, it's not even a matter of the Holy Spirit, they just don't want to be told what to do. So they don't like commandments. And seems to be so antithetical to living in the dispensation of grace, living in freedom that Christ has set us free, and now we have commandment. So why did Christ give us a commandment? And commandments, really, people, another thing about commandments, just talking with you, is this whole thing about needing commandments. A lot of people need them. So they know what to do. They don't know what to do. Wouldn't know what. They don't want to walk by faith. They don't want to walk by faith. They want to walk by the commandments. And then there are others, they don't even like the word at all. The whole word of commandment. And they have trouble with it. And our flesh nature, let's talk about that. What's the surest way of getting someone to sin? Give them the command. Why were commands given? Why is the Mosaic Law given? To increase sin. It's just, you can just bet. You tell a child, you tell them, don't do this. Before you leave the room, they'll have done it. Or thinking how they're going to do it. Figuring it out. It's just our nature. It's the surest way to get some things done is tell somebody don't. Don't drive there. That's where they're going. Don't go. That's where they're going to go. Tell your teenager, don't go to that club. Don't go to that place. That's where they're going to be. That's where they're going to be. It's just something about the nature of don't do this and do this and all that. If you do it, I don't want to do it. Don't, I want to do it. The flesh nature. I love that woman that reared us. And to my best recollection, there wasn't a whole lot of do's and don'ts. When we started getting to where we were driving and go on dates and go down to Galveston, that was always a big thing to go down to Galveston. My mother never told us, don't go there, don't go there. She just said, just remember, if you take a date into that kind of a club, and there used to be the true hoodlums, not what Fonzie is. I'm talking about really hoodlums with real knives and real brass knuckles and all this stuff. And she said, you go in there and they start to do anything with your date, you've got to defend her with your life. Well, I'm 16 years old. I'm not about ready to die for her. That's crazy. So I'm not going there because I'm not going to die for her. I'm not going to die for anybody right now. I'm 16. So she had a nice way of doing it. But the idea here is that commands, you give commands, and we don't want to do that. So we got to look at why Christ gave us this command. Now, I think some of these reasons we just talked about, one reason he did give it. Just this whole confusion about it. But I think there's another reason why Jesus Christ uses the word command. He uses it much like he uses the word works. See, many people, religious people, many people have to work. They have to have commands. They just got to have them. They're not going to walk by faith. They've got to have them. So look with me at John 6. Turn back just a few pages to John 6. Let me show you why I think Jesus Christ used the word commandment. Give you a new commandment. Now we're going to start reading verse 27 in John 6. Do not work. Uh-oh, there's the work. Do not work for the food which perishes. Well, that's kind of interesting because we know we have to work for the food that perishes. We got to plant, we got to plow, then we got to plant, and then we got to cultivate, water and all that, and then we have to go and pick it. See, I know all that stuff, and then I can't do it, but I've read, and so. But this is interesting. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food, but the verb is understood here, but work for the food which endures to eternal life. Uh-oh. See, you got to work. Which the Son of Man shall give you. Wait a minute now. He's going to give it to me. No, I've earned it if I work. And here he says he's going to give it. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. Well, the religious crowd bought right into this. They said therefore to him, because they want to know what the work is. What shall we do? There's the do and do. That we may work. There's your work. The works that were required by God. Boy, this one little verse, one little sentence, filled with the whole idea that I'm trying to express to you tonight. Some people just got to work. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, here's the work required by God. I love this. Here's the work required by God. That you do nothing else but believe in him whom he has sent. That's the work. What is the work? Faith. Now, why does he do that? Because we have verses where anything in works contrast with grace in Paul's writings. We have a lot of verses that tell us you don't work. Here Christ says, this is the work. Why does he do that? People know who he's talking with. He's talking to the religious crowd who've got to work. They just got to work. Okay, if you have to work, here's the work you do. No work. Called faith. Just simply trust him. Now, let's go back to John 13. I think this is why our Savior is using for us the word new commandment. I think he is saying it so that those who have to have a commandment, well, here it is. See, we know we're not saved by works. Yet Jesus Christ says, this is the work you do. He uses the word work to talk about faith. And we know that's not works. So Jesus Christ, I think he's doing the same thing with new commandment. The Jews, the religious crowd, and even today, the people just love commandments. They love commands. They love to be told what to do. There are people who really love the military. They love it for a lot of different reasons, but I'm talking about that person who just loves and really needs it. They're told what to do all the time what to wear. They don't have to make a decision about what to wear. They don't have to make a decision about what tie to wear, what pants to wear, what shirt to wear, what coat to wear. You're told what to wear. You're told what to eat, where to eat, how long you got to eat. And there are people who need that. They just love the military because it's very structured, and they can just do that. And some of us, we do it because if we don't, we're going to get in trouble when we were in the military. Of course, there are a lot of people in the military for honorable reasons, but there are people just there because they don't have to make any decisions. People love commands. So those who love commands, a religious crowd, those who are oriented to commands like the Jewish crowd, those who understand it even in the Gentile dog world, okay, I've got a new command for you. Oh, great. One new command. Now, if you're thinking, you're going, he didn't say commands, but let's see what he's got. So he's got a new commandment. First, we have a new commandment. So we want to talk a moment about what a commandment is. I think most of us kind of got an idea about what a commandment is. Whether we obey it or not is another thing. The word here is entole. So I'll put it on the board so that at least you'll see it, because we're going to be talking about it for a long time. And that's E-N-T-O-L-L-E, entole. One of the concepts of this word is a literal, isolated do. That old do and do, do and do. Do this, do that. That's one reason some people love commandments, some people hate commandments. Our flesh nature is really more prone not to. You tell me to do something, then we're going to do just the opposite. So let's take a little introduction to commandments first. Not spend a long time here, but let's just note a few things about a command. Commands are very important throughout the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, and how we're going to live, how we're supposed to function. That's what they do. It's closely related, as we saw with Isaiah 28, do and do and do and do. So what about commandments? Point one. The first issue concerning commands is the one who gives the command. That's the very first issue. Authority. Does someone have the authority to tell you to do something? As we start to grow up, we kind of learn mom and dad do. They have the authority to give us a command. They have authority to hit us if we don't. Spank us if we don't. So, and then we learn this person doesn't have the authority to give a command. After a couple of days, we learn that the teacher at school has the authority to give us commands. And so we learn these things. But the great issue in commands is authority. The one in authority is in position to give a command. An emperor, a king, general, government official, parents, and God. Here Jesus Christ is head of the church. So who's given a command? Jesus Christ, head of the church, and here's his command. And you, each one of us have to decide, does Jesus Christ have the authority over my life to give me a command? Does he have that authority over my life? And I can't answer that for you. You've got to answer for yourself. To give you a command that you have to, that you're going to consider doing. Point two. Now, the ones to whom the command is given. First of all, we have the authority of the one given. And then secondly, those to whom the command is given. There is some form of a relationship between those who issue commands, between him and those who the commands are given. There's a relationship for a parent and child. In the military, officer and those that are under him. And so we have to, we're looking here at the ones to whom the command is given. Each one of us must decide if Jesus Christ, if we're in a relationship with him where he has authority to give us a command, and that we've got to do. There's a relationship between us and Christ, and he has a right to give us this command that's going to govern us, that we're going to have to fulfill. And let's just start right with the principle, because I'm not going to develop this over a long period of time, but just pull some things together for us. Here's your principle. There is nothing that will make greater demands in your life than the new commandment. Nothing. to love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. There is nothing that will make greater demands. See, a lot of people, what am I saying here? There's so much here that I'm just going to talk about for a moment. A lot of people like to live by righteousness and treat each other in righteousness. Well, you know, it's that old thing. Remember the old joke we used to laugh about? The parent would say to the child, "This hurts me more than you." Yeah, but not in the same place. That type of thing we'd play with in that. Well, a lot of people deal with one another on righteousness and law. And, you know, I don't like gossiping, and I don't like maligning, but I think, and I don't want, but this needs to be done. This really hurts me to have to get up and tell about other beliefs. No, it doesn't. Because they're doing it because they think they're fulfilling God's righteousness. People, nothing will make greater demands than love. Now, let me talk to you about how I can show you this. Even greater than righteousness. Even greater than righteousness. Let's see. Here's righteousness, and here's love. If we stay strictly with righteousness, then all God has to do, people, is condemn us all to eternity separated from Him. That's all He has to do. Just do it. If He deals with us in love, He has to offer up His Son. If He treats us out of love, He's got to offer up His Son. Nothing will make greater demands of you than to love one another as Christ loved you. Nothing. Because sometimes this isn't what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to deal with somebody according to righteousness or law or justice. And when you go to bed at night, you can say, "See, I fulfilled righteousness today. I fulfilled justice today. Oh, I didn't want to, but I go to bed tonight knowing I did what God wanted me to do." No, it's much more difficult to fulfill love. Because to treat someone in love, people, is going to make unbelievable demands at you. You want to get even with them. You want vengeance. You want righteousness. You want all these things that in our mind we can comprehend. But just to treat this person in love, they don't deserve love. They don't deserve, what is love? Kindness. Forgiveness. Restoration. Oh, people, nothing will make greater demands than to love as Christ loved. When we don't want to. So this is a very powerful place to begin. You will want to be in control. You will want to get even. You will want them to hurt because they hurt you or they hurt someone you love. And you don't want them to get away with anything. You want to treat them in righteousness or law or justice. You will not want to deal with them according to this love. So the issue then, does Jesus Christ have authority over your life? Does this command by Jesus Christ have authority over your life? Now, what we do often is we pick and choose. I choose to use love here because it befits what I'd like. I don't choose to use love here because that's not what I want to do. Over here, it may be the person. It may be a lot of things that say, "Well, all right, I'll forgive and do that." Over here, no, I'm not going to. See, I get to pick and choose. No, you don't, people. No, you don't. So this becomes very important. There are two very important points about the new commandment. Let me give them to you. One, authority of Jesus Christ over you. Secondly, the command itself, that you love one another as I have loved you. At the heart of the new commandment is the love of Christ. Is the love of Christ for you. At the heart of your love for Christ is His love for you. Listen now. So far it's all been nice, huh? At the heart of your love for others is Christ's love for you. So I want to repeat them now. At the heart of your love for Christ is His love for you. At the heart, that's from John. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Okay? The second part of the principle, at the heart of your love for others is Christ's love for you. Christ's love for you is what guides us and directs us. How you and I love others. We demonstrate our love toward Christ in our love toward others. Look for a moment at Gospel of John 14. Gospel of John 14, verse 15. 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, just very quickly, there are two commandments that he's talking about in context. In context, one, faith. Two, love. That's the plural. It can be taken singular or plural. Sometimes you'll see it plural, sometimes you'll see it singular. Now look at verse 21, same chapter. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And people, this is going to be a wonderful passage, because don't we have the idea that God loves us all anyway? So what does this mean? And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. That's powerful. If you want Christ to disclose himself to you. Verse 23, Jesus answered it. Well, verse 22 puts in context. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourselves yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And his word is what? Faith and love. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, put it all together. Judas asked, how is this going to happen? And why do you reveal to us? Why are you going to reveal yourself? He tells you how in verse 23. We're going to come inside you. And that's how you're going to know us. We're going to take up our residence in you. Now, hold your place, and you might as well put a paper clip when you come on Thursday night, because we're going to be doing this a lot. Look at 1 John, right near the end of the Bible. Got Revelation and Jude, and then before Jude, you got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And Jude is just one page, one chapter. Please look with me at 1 John 3, verse 23. 1 John 3, 23. Let's take a look. 23. And this is his commandment. Here's his commandment now. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And, it's singular commandment, but there are two parts. That's why people, it can be singular or plural. And love one another just as he commanded us. So, what is his command? To love as he commanded us. To have walked by faith and to love as he commanded us. Now, here is a principle that many do not agree with, even though the Holy Spirit makes it clear in 1 John. If you do not love one another in this manner, then people, you do not love Jesus Christ. You carry hate, anger, jealousy toward another believer, you don't love Christ at that time in your life. You can't say, no, I love the Lord. I'm in church and I'm singing and I love the Lord. It's just my ex-husband I don't like, I hate. It's just my ex-wife. It's just this person that's done this to me. It's that believer right over there that I know is a bum and all this kind of stuff. Then you don't love the Lord. No, yes, I do. No, you don't, people. Don't argue with me. Argue with the Lord. You take it up with him. He says, no, you don't. This is why we've seen that faith, the greatest manifestation of faith, if you claim you're doing faith, what's the greatest manifestation of faith? Love. This love. Paul says in Galatians 5, nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. So, this answers the book of James. We're doing faith, James. So James didn't follow him home. James didn't follow him to the beer joints. James came to their assembly and stood over in the corner, as it were, and he watched them. We claim faith. There was no love coming out. No love whatsoever for one another. There'd be people that got there early. Who knows why they got there early? Maybe traveled a long way. Maybe wanted to pray. Just think. Maybe they wanted to listen to Wes play the piano. But they got there early. And they so there were the nice seats. Remember, they met in homes, so that they had the nice seats. A lot of our homes, you'll go in, a lot of homes has a few nice seats, and then everything else is not really all that comfortable. Well, what they would do to some people, they'd come down and say, excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Gottrocks are here, so they're going to sit here. Would you mind come back here and sit on the floor, these pillows we have on the floor? That's not the way you do it in the church. That's not the way you do it in assembly. So he just stood there and watched, and he saw no love. And the greatest manifestation of faith is love, because it's faith in the Holy Spirit. That's why I love what James said. He didn't say you don't have faith. He didn't say that. He said your faith is dead. You put your faith in anything else other than the Holy Spirit, it's dead. It's not going to work. The Holy Spirit gives life. We know that from Christ's teaching. That is what will give you life. Now, point three. It helps if we understand the nature of a command. Point three, it helps if we understand the nature of a command. First of all, we know the authority of the one to give the command. Secondly, the relationship of the between the one giving and the one given, the command itself. Now, point three, let's talk about the nature of a command. Number one, everyday instruction. How to live the Christian life day by day, day in and day out. That's why a lot of people need lots of commands. They want to know all the do's and don'ts. They need a lot of commands to run me every day. Secondly, a command sets up the ordinance of official procedure, in all areas of life. What is the command procedure? Dress, code, all these kind of things. Three, the nature of a command is that it is a mandate to do something. To do something in a specific way. To perform a specific duty. That's what the nature of a command is. Now, if we add here, our command is to love one another as Christ loved you. That's the mandate that we have for every day. That's our everyday instruction. That's the ordinance by which we live by. What do I do when a believer has done something to me? Get even? All this kind of stuff? No. Love them as Christ loved you. I don't want to. That's why this command is so tough. Next, commands are instructions. Commands are instructions on how we as Christians are to live, to know what is expected of us every day. Someone asks, what is expected of you as a Christian? Sometimes it's a tough answer. To love as Christ loved me. When I teach teenagers, got into a lot of fun in that. But talk about how, actually teaching parents about teenagers, and give a teenager a lot of rules, a lot of commands. You can't do this and don't do this, and you don't do this with your date, and you don't do that with your date, and don't do the drugs, and don't do this, and don't go here. And you give them all this list. And so when you live by law, we all want to know about that law, don't we? So the teenager says, okay, can we hold hands? Can we kiss? Can we do this? Is it one button or two buttons or what? When have I broken the law? At what point have I crossed the line? We all live that way. You travel somewhere, how fast will they let me go? I go up to Arkansas to teach to Hot Springs. They want me to get up there, and I haven't been up there in a while, but I can't. Now, does Arkansas Highway Patrol give you that extra little few miles like they do in Texas, or are they strict? See, I like Oklahoma. Oklahoma, when I go to visit Dan Hill, there's the Indian Turnpike. The speed limit's 80 miles an hour. It's beautiful. I love it. But you know what they have a sign that says? No tolerance. 81 miles an hour, you're dead. They let you know, no tolerance. That's good to know. See? So, I tell parents, instead of all the laws, here's what we tell your teenager. Treat your date and deal with your date as Christ deals with you. Oh, you can't trust a teenager to do that. You can't do that. No, you got to give them all. And I look at them and I say, well, you know what? Your way hasn't worked very well. Your way is really failing, because look at our young people. I'll try this way. Show them how to be filled with the Spirit, and then tell them to love their day as Christ loved you. Now there are no questions. All the questions are now gone. All the questions about how far, this, that, they're all gone. You treat another person as Christ loved you. That's how simple this is, if we want to live by it. So commands are instructions on how we live. Next, commands are directions. Commands are directions. So that citizens and members of a body, members of a city, members of a community will know how to live. Now, what's our body? Our body is the body of Christ. We know how to live by this commandment now. Commands are given for our benefit. Let's just talk about getting home tonight. We have the command of the light system. We have the command of driving. You come up and there's no light, but there's four corners. The guy on the right, the first one that's there, all this kind of stuff. Why are all of these there? So that we can get along for our benefit. It directs us. See? And that's the new commandment. It's given for our benefit. I don't really know what to do in this kind of a case. Deal with them in love. And what happens with a lot of Christians, if they don't have this and they don't want us to do this, they go back to what? They go back to law, righteousness, justice, and therefore they judge, malign, separate, and do all the things they can do according to judge, according to law. So the new commandment that Jesus Christ is now giving is for the benefit of every believer in everyday life. It's for our benefit. You don't know what to do? Love as Christ loved. And that's why we know about love is kind. Love is does not boast. Love is not jealous. Love is not arrogant. Love does not consider it when hurt. All these wonderful things about love, it guides you. In any and every circumstance, this love will guide. This is powerful. Point four. Commands do three things. They protect. They prevent, and they provide. Commands do three things. Commands protect, commands prevent, commands provide. And we'll take a look at these under the command of spiritual love. First of all, protect. Spiritual love protects believers from each other and from self. Spiritual love protects. It protects us from each other. Two, we'll be elaborating all of these. Spiritual love prevents. As laws prevent members of the body from getting out of line, so spiritual love prevents us from getting out of line with other believers. It prevents us from judging, maligning, gossiping, competing, being jealous, all these kinds of things. It prevents us from hurting other believers. It prevents us from maltreating. Like in my example, it will prevent that teenage boy from hurting, doing the girl wrong, or the girl doing the guy wrong, or us in business, in anything in life. Spiritual love prevents us from hurting. And then finally, in this study, spiritual love provides. A command provides. Command of spiritual love provides the environment for each believer to live with one another. It provides an environment for each believer to live with one another. Just to pick two to give you an idea. For an example, Scripture says that love does not boast. Well, love is not jealous. All right, what does this do in a church environment? Okay, this means, even home, this means that God can prosper another believer without you getting out of fellowship. See, it creates this environment. Love does not boast. What does that mean? God can bless you without you causing other believers to get out of fellowship. It just creates an environment here in the assembly when you have love is kind. That presents a, and we can do this in a marriage. We can develop this whole thing for the concept of a marriage. It prevents. It protects. It prevents. It provides an environment in the marriage if we live by the new commandment, where we can function together, fulfill the destiny of the body, the corporate work of the body. Even though each has a sin nature, each has a personality, each has its own agenda, each has their own past, each has their own ideas, spiritual love will provide an environment for a local body of believers, or a marriage, or a home, to live under the law of liberty. Believers can serve one another in this environment that's set up not by law, not by do's and don'ts, but by spiritual love. It creates an unbelievable environment. And please remember that love being like a spiritual force, it creates an environment, first of all, inside of you. And then it creates an environment in and around where you are. So this is very important to know about a command. A command does three things. It protects, it prevents, and it provides. And all three of these will develop, and they're all three extremely important in dealing with one another in life. So this is what we're talking about. When do you need? If you lived alone, we could kind of say you don't really need any commands, because it's just you there. But you bring another person into it, then we need to set up some order. We need to set up some structure. This is the point. This is it. We got one. We don't have a long list. We got one. To love as Christ loved us. This is powerful, people. This is alarmingly powerful. This is why God is love, by the way. Okay, point five. Let's take a summary at this point, and then we can move on. Let's take a summary. Commands are given. One, subpoint one. In a defined relationship. In a defined relationship. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He's head of our individual lives. Subpoint two. Given to direct conduct. Action between citizens. And that family or whatever it may be. We know how to act and what to do. Three. Subpoint three. Commands are given to refer to a mission. Or in reference to. Commands are given in reference to a mission or a purpose. People just take a family. What's the purpose of the family? What kind of rules are we going to set up in our family? For the children and for all of us about eating. Can you just eat anywhere you want? Can you eat anytime you want? Or for the whole momentum of structure in our family, we're going to eat at a certain time, and we're going to eat a certain way. You're going to be at the table, and you're going to learn manners, and it's to fulfill the whole. What's the mission of the family? What's our purpose of this deal? Why did we bring children into this deal? And it can be the family. It can be just a husband and wife, a society. It can be a nation. It can be church. And what do we have in the body of Christ? One. One, to direct us, to love as Christ loved. And then for subpoint four, protect, prevent, and provide. Subpoint five, this command forms the basis of unity. Paul says, and we'll see this in Colossians, the perfect bond of unity is love. The love that we're talking about right here, spiritual love. Let's look at a few passages that we're going to be going over and over. Not only in this class, but in all of our classes. So you'll have a nice list to begin a momentum in spiritual love. Now, we're not going to look at some we've already looked at. For an example, John 14:15-21, we've already looked at. John 15:10-12. I don't think we looked at John 15, did we? John 15, let's look at it. John 15, verses 10 and 12. Alright, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's how we abide in his love. Not by doing the law. Not by learning a lot of doctrine. Not by doing certain things. But loving as he loved. In other words, being filled with the Spirit. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that's how he does it. Then verse 12, this is my commandment. Here it is. You want it? That you love one another just as I have loved you. There you have it. Now let's go to 1 John. Revelation, Jude, and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. We want 1st John. 1st John, chapter 2. Just giving you some verses. You can keep them, note them, and we'll be coming back and forth. 1st John 2, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. Behold, I am not writing a new command. Now, this is John speaking. Much after Jesus Christ in the upper room, probably some 45 years later. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment. Now, the old means one that Christ has given, which you have had from the beginning of the church. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Now, verse 8. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the light is already shining. Reference to Christ coming again. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, what are they, John? And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. So he told us what they are. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that we love, the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Another way of wording what we're looking at. Let's look at 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Just turn the page, in other words. Here we're going to read 4 through 6. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, walking in the Spirit, just as we have received commandment to do from our Father. Well, we know what they were doing. And they were walking in the Spirit, because that is the commandment, to walk by faith. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. That is the commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. Okay. Verse 34. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. And this is where we'll begin next Wednesday night. Going to go on a nice journey with this. I'm going to do some things we haven't done and some things we have done over the years. But if there's anything we're going to need in this whole understanding, is to understand this new commandment. So let's again close with a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are. You did not burden us with a lot of commands. You could have. And we'd have had to learn them. We'd have had to write them down in a little book, carry it around with us. We'd have to memorize a lot of them and put them in our heart and our mind. We'd had to look at ourselves and each other. Are you doing it? You're doing this and you're doing that. Judge, malign, compete with one another. But your load is light. One command, to love as your Son loved. And I pray, Father, that you will give me, through your Spirit, ability to communicate these things in simplicity, urgency, and truthfulness. To love as Christ loved. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.